We started into Ephesians a couple weeks ago, and we have gotten to the third verse. But that's just the way the construct of the Greek is. You just can't just blow through there. I don't know if anybody ever does the whole book of Ephesians in 6 weeks. That would be just wild. I don't know how they do it. But so we are on verse 3. And remember, the first chapter, because we had these chapter constructs broken down, the first chapter is who Jesus is and who I am in him. Because 34 times in the first chapter is either the word him, he, or himself. So it's all about him, not about you. Okay? So 34 times mentions him. So, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's what that is. So, blessed be. And what that means is to speak well of. That's what that word means, to speak well of. And it's the term that you use when you eulogize someone. Okay? You ever been to a eulogy? Somebody dies, even if they're the most varmint person in the world, there's always some kind of eulogy that says, you know, the person, I remember Tony telling me one that they had, the Hell's Angels? Yeah, it's one of her friend's brothers, one of her friend's brothers died, and he was in the Hell's Angels, and they had them give testimony, and even a Hell's Angel can eulogize someone, you know. And this word is used only of God in the New Testament. Blessed. Isn't that something? As a character thing. Blessed. So, God is to be spoken well of. And I know we all hit our hand with a hammer and we all drive on the freeway at 4 o'clock on, you know, a Friday afternoon. But God is not your homie. He is not the three dudes. He is not the man upstairs. He's not Pops or the real old man. That's not God. And I thought about the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So remember, and we did this back in the book of Acts, the central word in the Old Testament is, for you that made a study out of that and remembered that, the central word in the Old Testament is holy. That's the central word. And the central word in the New Testament, hey, we're going to have to have people go online and read and listen to all the Acts sermons. The central word in the Old Testament is holy, and the central word in the New Testament is Father. Holy Father. That's it. I think that speaks something. God is holy, and he's our Father. It is father-like love that awakens childlike trust. We're his children, and we learn to trust him. It's father-like love that awakens childlike trust. So learn to speak well of God, and I say that to myself as much as I say it to anybody. He is personal, individual Father for each one of us. Personal and individual. Not some force, you know, the force be with you, and not some ethereal plane, you know, throughout the whole universe. He is personal and individual. Jesus says to Mary, listen to this, remember this? I ascend unto my Father and your Father, my God and your God. See? It's my Father, but it's also your Father. And it's my God, but it's also your God. So, you got mail from the Father. And I want to read through this. I know some of you have this because we hand this out when we do the forgiveness for mother and father and also for God. But I'm just going to read through this real quick. And this is the Father's love letter. And this is a group of people that put this together from all scripture verses. These are all scripture verses. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. For you're made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth in the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain that you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is exact representation of my being, and he came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God. So you can keep a copy of that and read that once a day at least. If somebody sent you a letter like that, you'd certainly keep it and read it, wouldn't you? So back to verse 3. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? The emphasis is on the person who's doing the blessing, not on the one that's receiving, the one who blessed. And that word is a fact or an action. Basically, it's a done deal. So we bless God. How do we bless God? How do you bless God? You worship him, you praise him, you obey him. Yep, speak well of him. Okay. And then he blesses us. How does he bless us? He does us good. Everything. It's hard to imagine because it's like, I don't like that. I don't want that. But everything, in all deeds, he does us good. So what kind of blessing? Spiritual blessings. So the agent of the delivery of these blessings is the Holy Spirit. 13 times in this epistle, the word spirit or spiritual is mentioned. 13 times. So what are the spiritual blessings? Does anybody know where the spiritual blessings are? They're listed. 1 Corinthians 12:1. It's the same Greek word used for spiritual in referring to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So part of the blessing are allotments of various kinds of gifts, and they're given by the Spirit. Okay? So if you want to turn there, that's fine. 1 Corinthians 12:1, but these are the gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom is the first one. The word of wisdom. Okay? Spiritual blessings, spiritual gift. Spiritual utterance at a given moment. Okay? So a lot of times if you have a word or something jumps out from Scripture, And it's like, I've read that before, but now it's kind of coming home as a rhema word right out of the scripture for me, for right for what I'm going through. So a word of wisdom. How about a word of knowledge? That's the next one. Supernatural revelation of information that pertains to a person or event. Revelation of information. So it's like something that you need to hear, and the Lord brings it to you, probably from a person or for an event in your life, and it just confirms what's already been going on in your heart. Faith is another spiritual blessing. Faith, beyond natural or saving faith, it's supernatural faith. And we talked about this last week because we watched that little movie about faith and potatoes, and that guy that was planting when he went, let's see, he was from New Zealand, and he ended up in South Africa. Make a long story short, he was kind of a type A driver and, you know, push. And one day he just came to an end of himself, and he, you know, surrendered to the Lord. Well, they were trying to burn some of the fields off, you know, when they were planting and stuff, and it leapt across the road and it catches on fire, somebody else's property. And he's just, you know, yelling for everybody, please come and help, come and help. They're trying to beat it out. And they said, they just started praying for rain, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And they kept praying, pray for rain. It was a drought season, yeah. And sure enough, it rained and put the fire out. Well, anyway, the end of the movie, because it says about potatoes was the crop to plant. And so they took all their potatoes that they had, and they planted them. Well, everybody said, don't do this because the drought's so bad. They even rented a stadium to pray for the whole area. Nothing. So he plants the potatoes against everybody. Everybody told him, don't plant it. You're going to ruin it. And then you're going to, you know, be in foreclosure with your farm. He said, no, the Lord told me to plant them. So he planted them, and they put hay on top of them, everything. And it never rained. It never rained. So you need lots of water for potatoes. And so what happens? The harvest comes, right? Hasn't rained at all. And they went to dig the potatoes up, and there was an abundance of potatoes. A huge potatoes and abundance of potatoes. So it's called Faith Like Potatoes. But it's a sweet little B-Christian movie. Those are the ones that have a real good moral to them. So it means trust without doubt in specific matters. Okay? So that's the faith. How about number four? Healings. And it's in plural. So it's many sicknesses and diseases. So why did we pray today? We pray to believe. You believe and you pray. And you pray about sicknesses and diseases. Working of miracles. Divine enablement that cannot be done naturally. That's what miracles are. Out of the ordinary. Out of the natural. Divine enablement. Working of many miracles. Prophecy. Okay? Prophecy is one of the spiritual gifts. Divine disclosure, or it's an edification, an exhortation, and comfort for that moment. Okay, so we always talk about prophecy, and you can look at it on the website. The prophecy should not necessarily tell you something you don't know. It should be confirming, and it always should be exhortation and comfort. Now, sometimes he comforts us with admonishment because he loves us, right? He loves those who are his kids. But it's for exhortation and comfort. And then number seven is discerning of spirits. Okay? Kind of discerning the spiritual atmosphere, detecting true circumstances, motives of people, things like that. And one time we were going through Sisters, Oregon, and we pulled off the side of the road to get something, and I mean, I couldn't even get up out of the car. I was just like oppressed, like on the road. And so I said, we just got to get out of here. So we drove to the next town, and I don't know, did we go to a grocery store or something? And that's discerning spiritual atmosphere, which at that time was not very nice. That was 5 years ago, yeah. So number eight is different kind of tongues, to speak supernaturally in a language not known to the individual. And if you want some scripture verses, it's Acts 2, 4 to 6, and 1 Corinthians 14, 14 to 19. The Acts 2 is they heard people speaking in languages that were, you know, from all over. So there is different languages that way. But the 1 Corinthians 14 is more praying and singing in the spirit and private worship. Okay. So there's two kinds there. That's that individual kind and also the praying time. And then number 9 is interpretation of tongues. A rational message of the spirit that is meaningful to others. So if somebody prays out in tongues and needs to have an interpretation of it. Finally, the place of origin. Where are these spiritual gifts coming from? It's called heavenly places. So we get to enjoy some of them now, okay, as a deposit here on earth, but ultimately it's in heaven. And do you remember the song also, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine," right? That's what it is. It's a foretaste of glory divine. If God made the earth in 6 days, and Jesus has been working on heaven for 2,000 years, then we're living in a garbage dump, as Keith Green said. We don't even realize what's up there, you know? So, the Jews divided heaven into 3 parts. The first one was the air and the atmosphere and the clouds, what we see. You know, you look up in the sky. The second is the firmament, the sun, the moon, the stars, okay? And the third is 2 Corinthians 12:2, and it's called the third heaven or the upper heaven. And it's the abode of God, angels, invisible realm of holiness and happiness. It's the place that, remember that I told you about the Russian cosmonauts, and they were going around up in the firmament, and they go, "We don't see God up here." And our astronaut said, "Just stick your head out for about 4 minutes and you'll see him." He'll be right there. So this third heaven is where the place of origin for these spiritual gifts, and the Holy Spirit's the one that brings them. It's also our home for the children of God. And, you know, everybody thinks that heaven is just a place, but it's also a person, Jesus. You're not just going to a place, you're going to a person. And it's all anybody's going to talk about is Jesus. You know, we always think, "Oh, I wonder if Aunt Sadie's still up there," or anybody, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, I think when you take your last breath, and you'll probably think here, "Gee, I wonder if my parents are there, or my spouse is there," or whatever. I think when you get there, you're just going to be enthralled with Jesus. You know, we weren't too worried about anybody not being there. So, there was a story of a missionary couple that was over in Africa for about 30 years. And they happened to come home on the same steamership as Teddy Roosevelt after one of his African hunting trips, okay? So, you know what happened. Well, to greet and meet Teddy Roosevelt was this huge crowd and band and everything going on because the president was coming back from his hunting trip. And so, Teddy Roosevelt comes off the steamership and down the gangplank and all the, you know, hail the chief and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, the crowd dissipated, and this missionary couple came down the plank, and there wasn't anybody there to welcome them home. No one. Not from the mission organization, not from their church, nothing. Nobody. And so, just like us men, because we get really discouraged quickly, the husband turns to the wife and says, "Honey, can you believe this? We've been in the mission field for 30 years, and nobody's here to welcome us home." And she turned to him and she said, "Honey, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. Wait for our homecoming on the other side, because that's where our home is." And I think we have to realize that. There's a lot of things that can be disappointing here, not fulfilled, you know, got dreams and things, and maybe it hasn't happened, never happened, or you thought it's too late to happen. But this isn't our home. I mean, we can still pray for things to happen here, but ultimately, up there is where it's at. You know? Heaven is a wonderful place. I've got all these songs in my head. Full of glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, because heaven is a wonderful place. That's right. So you've got heaven to look forward to. Where these gifts are coming from. And it's a home for us as the children of God, and it's where holiness and happiness ultimately reigns. All right? So there's verse 3. Anybody count how many verses in the 6 chapters? I hope it's not that many. That many weeks. But anyway, so close up your Bibles and let's pray and we'll pass the baskets and such. And I just want us to really think about what we talked about, is that God needs to be well spoken of. You know, and it's so hard because we get so frustrated and, you know, we say, oh, God, you know, we always say, oh, gosh, or oh, this, or, but oh, my gosh, you know, oh, my God. But, you know, and I'm not trying to be legalistic about it because, you know, whatever. But I am saying that we need to really think well of God and speak well of him because he is our Father. You know? And there's not many people speaking well of him. If you look at the whole world right now with, well, how many, 6 billion people, I'm sure most of them do not speak well of God. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love letter. Help us put that in our Bible and read it. And Lord, the most important thing that we think about ourselves is what the most important person in our life thinks about us. And you are the most important person. And we need to read that. And Lord, help us to remember that central word in the Old Testament is holy, and the central word in the New Testament is Father. And so the whole Bible's summed up in Holy Father. And help us to remember that. And thank you for the spiritual blessings that we have been given. And help us to be open to that. And Lord, it's just astonishing. There's no such thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled there means being in control by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not some liquid that just pours into our cup. The Holy Spirit's a person. And so we just need to get out of the way and let you have more control of us. And not just 33% sanctified. So, ask you to bless the tithes and offerings. Thank you, Lord, for giving. Thank you that everybody here is gainfully employed. And we just pray right now, Lord, as we will give out to a place in India to help them, our first little mission station, Lord. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would just go and bless them and bless Hannah, especially as she gives birth to this child. In Jesus' name, amen.